Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Helped in a leadership standpoint, a big deal. Now Cook's going to throw the deep ball, and Burton packed the defense. Touchdown, Luther Burton, 47 yards.
Luther, stud. Yeah, I mean, you saw the highlights, right? I mean, he's a playmaker waiting to happen.
That's Ben Johnson calling him a stud. Luther Burton's fun as a draft pick. There's a lot of juicy stuff to chew on conversationally around him. Don't you agree, Mark Grody? It's Speaks and Grody on Spiegel and Holmes.
I mean, from the second that we had him on the conference call out at Hallis Hall, it was interesting because he was just like, he acted like he was stunned to be with the Bears. Like, he didn't have his bearings. It just felt like we were asking him questions, and he wasn't all there. And even when he arrived in person, like, I was like, does he not like us? What's going on here? But he's got these eyes, man. I've been talking about this, like those that sports killer eye look about him, looking at him. So yeah. He is fascinating. He's fascinating to think about how he will be used. Like when you hear a description of him, it's DJ Moore, because in terms of the work that he can do in short spaces and things like that.
Tell me more about the eyes.
The eyes,
because,
man.
Because like, you know, the last
think Jordan.
Guy.
Think Jordan.
Or how about this? Bobby Portis eyes. Remember Bobby? And that's when I used to sing, he's got Bobby Portis eyes. And God, the people just went crazy for that.
Yeah. I don't think they're not that, because his eyes are kind of like surprise eyes.
Yeah, he's got some crazy eyes.
Right.
Crazy eyes killer.
Little cray. There's just a look in the eyes. You could see that he could see his soul,
just
Luther Burton.
Just a touch of cray. All right, so
kinda
tell me.
Kind of suits you anyway.
Yeah. Tell me about the Luther Burton eyes. Like just killer. Like he's.
I can't really describe it. I mean, just that, like, you look like not messing around eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a twinkle in his eye. You
Listen,
know, it's
you
not
know,
like Juan Castillo looking into my blue eyes and just loving me. It's not like that.
Nothing is.
So
have you talked to Juan in a while, guys?
I've not talked to Juan. No, Juan's like probably on his fourth job since he went. Because, like, look at the guy's resume. He's had like 30 different jobs. I've not talked to Juan Castillo.
If he's found beautiful blue eyes among any media that he's dealt with since then.
I'm sure. And probably not like mine.
Yeah.
Like mine. That was a moment right there. That was so funny.
I know, it really was.
Looking into her beautiful eyes.
The way that Luther Burton runs reminds me of young Odell Beckham Jr. a little bit, in that he has the feeling, I've talked about this before, like one of those guys who just swallowed the star in Super Mario Brothers, and all of a sudden you are indestructible.
You're faster
than everybody. You're stronger than everybody. People bounce off you. You can jump a little higher.
A spinach in the Popeye kind of guy.
Sure.
Yeah,
let's go with that. You know, like it's kind of the way that Isaiah Pacheco runs, when you're like, why is blue? I don't want to tackle him. I have no interest in tackling that person.
Apparently Kyle Manungai, the way Olin was talking about him.
So, I mean, you love that. I love watching guys with the ball like that. So, but he's rough around the edges.
Yeah, it feels like it. Like,
oh,
I mean,
it's the scouts say it, that he doesn't run hard when he's not getting the ball.
Yeah, but they did, one thing they did say was, and I think, you know, like, there was some admitting of that from the powers that be, but they said, watch the way he competes in games. And, like, you don't want to set that example. Like, a guy, well, you can get away with not practicing hard because of the way you are in games. But the way they describe him,
yeah,
he is ferocious once game day hits. And that's where the eyes kick in. And somebody said Mike Singletary. That's a good comp right there. Although his eyes were a little crazy, too.
Yeah. Singletary might have had the Portis eyes. Yeah, might have had the Singletary.
Yeah, he's more in the Portis category. I think Luther Burden's just got his own thing going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you and Dan Wiederer on the podcast take the North, and you're going to take it. And I don't believe you have any plans to give it back.
No, not at this point.
Once you take it.
Right. Well, hey, look. We will listen to offers. Like, if you want to buy the catalog, if you're Disney or whomever, if you'd like to buy the Dan and I would probably consider.
Who bought Bob Dylan's song catalog and for how much?
I'm not sure.
It was a lot. Alex, if you could use the internet over
there.
Was
it Disney?
I don't believe
that
so.
That was the Michael Jackson. Oh, no, excuse me. The Beatles went from Michael Jackson to Disney.
Disney,
correct?
Yes, which is why Get Back was on. I believe it was Get Back on Disney Plus, or it might be on Hulu.
I
don't know.
It was purchased by Universal Music Publishing Group.
This is the Dylan one?
Yes, songwriting catalog for over $300 million.
Yeah, that's it. Just $300 million for the Dylan song catalog.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, at some point in time, if you're the guys, you got to cash out.
You got to cash out.
Absolutely.
Yes, right? Got that option.
You got to liquidate all that.
All right, so anyway, Charles Davis was on Take the North, and I love talking football with Charles Davis and listening to Charles Davis talk football.
Yeah.
And so he was talking with you guys about all these new and extra ball carriers and receivers on this team, right?
Correct.
So Colston Loveland is here. Now Luther Burden is here to go along with Roma Dunze and to go along with DJ Moore. And, of course, DeAndre Swift out of the backfield. Here's what Charles Davis told you guys about having so many mouths to feed.
Yeah, it's a great question. It really is. And I think most of the time it rears its head when teams are losing games. Because I think when you're winning games, it's really hard to pop out there and say, what about me? What about me? What about me? When it's working, right? You're losing games, to me, that's what I saw last year with the Bears. Not necessarily guys being selfish or whatever, but you remember that Cardinals game I talked about that we did?
Oh, yeah.
I still remember and beating myself up on Monday because I totally missed it during the ball game. That one scramble Caleb had where he ended up on the right side and DJ Moore just left the field in the middle of the play. And he was over there on the bench by the time the play was over. I don't know if he was hurt. To this day, I still know everything that went into it, but it sure was a bad look.
For sure.
Like, oh, what just happened here? What's going on? It felt like things were starting to get a little bumpy that way. When you're losing, everyone wants to make a play to help their team. And if they're not getting the ball, it's tougher. But I think Ben Johnson is such a great and experienced play caller that he has something for everyone. And I've learned this from play callers going back a ways. You see those play calls they have, right? Mike Leach always had that little teeny sheet that he had, God rest the pirate, right? And you're like, how many plays you have on there, right? Other people like Sean Payton, it looks like something from Cheesecake Factory, right? Massive, okay? But they make sure that they write certain things on there to remind themselves about certain people touching the football. Either they write their number down or their name, make sure this play gets here, gets that. It's what an offense coordinator years ago told me. He said, I don't call plays at certain times. I call people plays. I want to make sure that gets to that person. Either I have to get him into the game or I have to bring him back into the game, or this is something that works really well for him. I may move him from an X to a Z to make sure he gets the ball on a certain play. All those things that went with it. I remember being a kid watching Pitt, Penn State. Back when Pitt was going for a national title, Tony Dorsett was the tailback. And they were struggling. They were really keying on him. You know, Penn State always played defense, right?
So
keying on him. And they made an adjustment. And all of a sudden, Tony Dorsett's playing fullback instead of tailback. And they hit him with a couple blast plays. So he got the ball quick as opposed to letting Penn State see him from 8 yards deep and flow to the football. And he breaks two big runs right out of the gate. The ability to see, adjust, get people in the right positions – well, that's a Ben Johnson specialty.
Man, I could not love that anymore. I got thoughts, but tell me, Groats, what are you thinking about when you hear Charles Davis make those kind of assessments about how Ben has to do it and how great coaches have done it and inferior coaches have not.
Well, the best part, I thought, was him saying that Ben Johnson's got a little something for everybody, that he's not just thinking about. I mean, there's going to be somebody that will rise from the receiving core this year. I still think it's probably going to be DJ Moore that's going to be the GOAT. There will be a go-to guy. But I love the idea of writing it down, like on your little piece of paper. I got this for you. That's what hockey coaches do. They literally take out that little piece of paper and they write stuff. Well, that's after a score and what happened on it. I love that idea. And guess what? Even though he said he's going to do all that, it's still going to be really hard for Ben Johnson, I think, to make it all work. And I understand everything is better. You've got Caleb. You've got these receivers. But there's a lot of inexperience at this point as well, including with your quarterback. So, they keep talking about how hard everything is going to be this year. That is going to be difficult for Ben Johnson. I don't think there's going to be magic, but I love it philosophically, the idea that he's got something for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's only so much that's in his control. He could design a play for DJ Moore, and if Caleb can't execute it or the line doesn't block, then DJ's not getting it.
Exactly.
But this idea of a coach calling players and not calling plays and designing ways to get the right guys involved, that's the human part of it, man. That's like, you got to know it. Like, if one of your studs needs the ball and needs to start feeling alive, like, we see it all the time in different sports. In basketball, we got to get this guy going. Get him a layup. Get him an easy look.
Yes.
Right? Like, get him something towards a basket. Let's design him so he can start to feel it and get a little lather going.
Yeah, and how important is that for Caleb at the beginnings of games where he sucked?
Sure.
Like, he had tough times in those first series, no matter what they tried to do for whatever reason. So, just from the start of games.
Hey, man, we think about it in terms of all sorts of stuff. I can tell you that when I'm doing a set list for a band, I'm like, well, we better make sure that this guy gets his moment. Yeah. Or this singer has to have his moment.
Right.
Or that guitar player, you know, he really shines on this. Let's make sure he gets it. Like, you think about that stuff because you want everybody to feel vital and involved.
Oh, yeah,
and
dude. I was backstage with Tribute to Source. They were telling me, man. They're like, Spiegs gave me this part. He gave me that. One guy was really pissed off.
It's
so.
Not just me, but I'm just making the cup.
Yeah.
But like, you've been on radio shows, Groats, where you're cooking for a couple segments,
yes,
maybe,
right.
And then you're like, you say to the partner, what do you want to talk about?
Right.
Hey, come on. We need you. Or I might look over and be like, man, Alex Kuhn hasn't said anything in 45 minutes.
Right.
Like, wake the F up.
They're waiting,
Alex,
for me to derail the show.
Say
That's
something.
Why.
Alex, what do you got?
They're
man?
Heavily focused. You okay?
Alex,
over there?
I mean,
I'm all good.
That's enough.
You know, I think about Cole Kmet too, like, yeah, in terms of like just getting him going and changing the trajectory of a player, because you look like Cole Kmet in 2023, 73 catches, 719 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He was on the rise. Like, that was his best year. Last year, 42 catch, 448 yards, 3 touchdowns. He did have that one game against the Jags, which was awesome in London. The 2 touchdowns, and he was long snapper that day. But I also look forward to what Ben Johnson's going to cook up for guys that kind of have been lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, there's a reverse engineering that goes on in the conversation, which is really exhausting to me sometimes, which is that, did you win the game? Like, is it? And if you win the game, it's all going to be fine, like Charles Davis says there at the top. But the idea from the coach's perspective is, let me scare you with my options, and then I'll do whatever is best based on what you are responding with and what the game situation demands. So, like, Luther Burden and DJ Moore are going to be terrifying weapons for the opposition to worry about, and he might run the ball 8 times in a row as they're worrying about those guys, and that's the way football's supposed to work.
Right, and hey, this is a test for the players. I've said this multiple times now. We always ask the questions in the locker room, in any locker room, of, hey, are you cool doing what the coach, hey, whatever it takes to win, I'll do whatever it takes. Well, that might be put to the test this year for Rome Odunze.
Oh, absolutely. For all of them.
For DJ Moore. But I'm talking about the guys that were there. Like, Rome, I'm guessing that, like, because he is such a good guy and a good team guy, that is what we'll hear from. Hey, man, whatever we got to do. If I only get the ball three or four times and we win the game, let's see if it really works that way, especially with guys that haven't gotten their second contract yet.
Did you hear Michael Bush on Inside the Clubhouse a few weeks back when asked about Justin Turner pinch hitting for him?
Did not.
As the four hitter sometimes and stuff, and Michael Bush said, I'm okay with it. I have to be.
So was he actually okay with it?
I don't know.
Well, that's, yeah.
He said he was okay with it, and he said he has to be.
Yeah, so let's see.
You got to talk yourself into it every once in a while, right?
And I'd like to think a guy like DJ Moore at this point, I mean, Lord, no, he wants the ball just like any wide receiver in this league. But guess what?
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's about winning at this point, especially with his tumultuous time with the Bears so far.
Better be.
He got paid, all that stuff.
Sure,
man.
He better be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's why Charles Davis is questioning. But look, here's what's kind of going to happen, though. Ben knows what it's about. Like, Ben knows no block, no rock for the wide receivers, right? Yeah, he has talked about that.
Yes, he has.
You got to do everything that you got to do, even if you are, you know, a stud. Amon-Ra St. Brown blocks his ass off, right? So, and we were talking to Lomas Brown yesterday, Lawrence and I, the former Lions tackle and longtime Detroit media, national NFL media guy, and he was telling us to get excited about training camp. And here's what it sounded like.
Y'all going out to training camp, wait till you see training camp. It's going to be it's going to be totally different. That's the first thing that you guys are going to notice, how he is, how intense training camp is, the enthusiasm around it. Watch the assistant coaches. Watch how they are. You're going to automatically notice that.
So the assistant coaches getting on individual players to make sure they do what they got to do or else they're not going to get a chance to play. And he referenced Antoine Randall-El and Jameson Williams.
There's a couple of instances, especially when Jameson did something boneheaded on the field. Oh, my goodness. I remember one episode where I forgot who we were playing this year, but Jameson did something bad on the field, and he was going back and forth with Randall-El, and then you just see Randall-El point his finger at him, and you knew it was over with right then. Like, Randall-El had enough of it and everything and stuff. So, yes, you'll see it. I'm telling you, man, you'll just kind of feel it from the coaches, and they're going to all buy in. If Ben is anything how Dan was here, their whole coaching staff is going to buy in. Therefore, the coach is going to buy in. Therefore, the players, they're going to buy into it too.
So doesn't that connect with what Charles Davis was telling you about so many mouths to feed? Mm-hmm. That, like, these guys, they got to play hungry and want to have their name called. And Ben should have sections on his call sheet about certain players and show them and say, I will call your name. You show me you deserve it, I will call your name.
Yeah, I just... Man, this camp is going to be interesting. I keep hearing about how hard it's going to be from, like, what are they going to have, like, 3 days? What is going to be? Are they going to bring Officer Bergevin in and scare them straight? I mean, what is going on?
Ryan Pohl said a lot of fights. He did say that.
What, he said there's going to be fights?
Yes. Like, physical? I think it was after the Shamar Turner pick.
Okay.
He's like, there are going to be a lot of fights.
He's going to go around punching guys in the ding-ding. That's his move.
Yes, exactly.
You know what? You know who
that's his big move.
You know what the great fight in training camp was for a while? Like, on the field, two dudes. It was Kyle Long versus Akeem Hicks. I'm not talking about, like, it would get out of control, but those two would lock horns so many times, like, probably a couple times throughout camp, and it was just something to see. They were all cool with each other afterwards, but those two guys were not playing when it came to, you get locked up, man, it was something to see. Talk about strength on strength.
Yeah, I mean, like, you joke, Mark. You joke a lot.
I got jokes.
You do. So anyway, but you're joking about, like, are they going to do 3 days or Officer Bergevin coming in or whatever. But it's, I don't know. How does this manifest? It's a good question. But it manifests in the ferocity of the competition when they are competing and guys being punished. Consequences matter. You know, especially in football. Like, you got, if somebody doesn't do something right, go sit down for a while.
If you see something, say something.
Yeah.
And they're going to do things. It's not just about the they're going to do things a certain way, and you're going to have to stay within the lines of what they're doing. And if you don't, then here comes Eric Bieniemy. Here comes Antoine Randall-El. Here comes Ben Johnson. Here comes Dan Roschar. Because when we talked to all those guys, that was the overlying, if there was something to be taken from assistant coach day, when we got to go table to table and just talk casually with these guys, that was the message that you best, as Eric Bieniemy said, I'm going to get on your ass.
Yeah.
You know, like, and asking if he's too hard. I go, look, I'm going to coach these guys. There's going to be a standard. And if the standard is not met, I'm going to get on your ass.
Man, most pro athletes, like, at some points in their life, were coached hard and they knew it was good for him.
Right, because they know it's good for everybody. I mean, especially for the veteran. You think Cole Kmet and DJ Moore, like Cole Kmet in particular, he spoke out loud about it last year, about the practice habits, and he was trying to describe things as carefully as
that's
he could.
Thing. There's a lot of people here who are very ready to be coached that way. They're starving for it.
They're starving for it, and it is typically the guys that are the veterans, and we heard from those guys last year. Think about on the way out, Keenan Allen.
Oh, dude, we heard
Keenan Allen.
We heard from those guys all year.
Kevin Byard.
I think the week of the Fail Mary, we heard from like six of them.
Yes,
we counted one time. Like how many different players have spoken up and ripped the coaching staff for not coaching them hard enough?
I did a whole Bears report with you and Lawrence in the early days of Spiegel and Holmes with just piece of sound after Mercedes Lewis.
I remember
Keenan Allen.
We were dumbfounded. You remember us reacting?
Oh, yeah. Lawrence was thinking I was going to get a Lissagore out of that thing, and then he took it.
The Lissagore is the journalism award.
It is, and if anybody deserves it, it's Lawrence Holmes.
And Danny Parkins, who won one as well.
Yeah, I don't know if he deserved it. Though. No, I'm kidding. Of course he did. He did some great reporting.
That day when Danny came in and he had all his Northwestern baseball stuff.
I mean.
And he sat there with a laptop. He's like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It was a clinic, though. It really was.
And he sat there and he's like, guys, I think I'm just going to read this. I'm just going to, like, I don't know. I think I'm just going to read
this. You sure about that, Dan? I mean. I know. That's the only way I'm going to impersonate Parkins for now, because everybody has done it. So mine is just going to, I mean.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Yeah. That's very solid.
I mean, Grody can't golf.
He's Mark Grody, and he's a lot of different people. I'm Matt Spiegel, and I'm just me. Except when I'm singing, then I become a lot
just
of
Maddie
people.
From the block,
just
man.
Maddie from the block. You know what? Are. Speaking of Maddie, I've been called Maddie.
Yeah.
And that means that a guy is comfortable with you. You were called something yesterday as well. Or you called somebody.
Exactly. I was given the green light to call somebody something. Let's put it that way.
We're palling around with athletes, and we feel like kids when that happens.
We do.
Let's discuss. And speaking of kids, the families around baseball. What's the greatest baseball family of all time? Let's discuss next on the...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Gore.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're going to do that show this year, yes. The Spiegel guy.
Spiegel guy.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Afternoons on the Score.
Good Friday afternoon to you. Chi-Town.
Uh-oh.
2025.
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Studzinski has delivered to his man Mark Grody a yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo!
Because earlier in the day, we're talking about Milwaukee Brewers relief pitcher Craig Yoho, who is close to, being named yoo-hoo. It's just missing two O's, one before the H and one after. That would get it done.
Only two.
He doesn't. He only has two O's. He needs four to be yoo-hoo. And you, Mark Grody, said you've never had one.
I've never had one because it just never appealed to me. The idea of basically watered down chocolate.
That's it's cold chocolate. It is not hot chocolate. It is cold chocolate.
Chocolate drink.
I would like you to take a sip of that right now, live on the air.
All right, here we go.
Shake it up first.
Shake it up.
I did.
It's 4:30 on the button. And Mark Grody is going to derail the show. Actually, Adam Studzinski has derailed the show.
Yeah, that would be Studs. Nice
with
job.
A delivery of Yoo-Hoo.
That's my guy.
7 minutes early.
Score. Mark Grody sipping a Yoo-Hoo sounds a little something like this. Thoughts?
Hold on.
Okay, he's got to let that process. You want to take another sip?
Not bad.
See?
It feels like there's a touch of, is there a touch of cinnamon in this?
Ooh, it could be.
Hold on.
It could be. Back for more, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, if you could use the magical powers of the internet to figure out what's in the recipe for yoo-hoo, that is not proprietary.
It's actually
should be on the bottle, though. Shouldn't it be right there?
Better than. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sean, why use the bottle when you could use the internet?
High fructose corn syrup.
No cinnamon, but chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, and other chocolate-based flavors like chocolate peanut butter and chocolate caramel.
I knew I was sensing some other notes.
Strawberry?
And now we know. Yeah, strawberry, vanilla.
Those the notes
vanilla?
You were sensing?
Yeah. Those were the notes that I was sensing.
Am I crazy or does Alex say chocolate weird?
Say it.
Chocolate?
Does he say chocolate?
Chocolate? You got a little
That's pretty Chicago. You've been here long enough now. You're starting to sound like a Chicagoan.
Oh, no.
Good for you. Chocolate.
Hey, how many friends named Pat do you have?
Oh, do I have?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
How many Pats?
I mean, starting with Pat O'Donnell, of course. Pat Arnold.
Oh, yeah, Pat. Hey, Big Tony, Little Tony.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to that, too, by the way.
I know you will.
Yeah.
All right, so
it's not bad.
Your first yoo-hoo.
Not bad. I'm going to take another step.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. You're listening to 670 The Score. This is where we try yoo-hoos.
That's right. What else you got for me?
431 on a Friday. What else? Yeah. Studs. Only Mark Grody gets a yoo-hoo, huh?
We'll check and see what else got in the fridge here. We'll see. We can get you something speaks.
No, it's all right.
What would one pair
well,
a yoo-hoo
here's
with?
Here's the problem. Yeah. The 7-Eleven down the street on Lake Street only had two left in the fridge.
Oh, so one
so
is
I
for you.
So I got one for Grody and one for me.
Oh, yeah. No, you absolutely deserve the second yoo-hoo.
You know what
travels.
Would go with really well with this is like some Hostess cupcakes.
Yeah.
Like with the cream in the middle and the whatnot. Yeah. Yeah.
The whatnot.
That's my go-to when I don't know like what else.
So what's
it's the
whatnot?
Cream and
it's
the
more the whatnot than the cream.
Well,
right.
The cream, the whatnot, you mean the chocolate like marzipan sort of stuff on the top?
Yeah, what is that?
Whatever
it's
that stuff
the
is.
That's the whatnot.
Yeah, what's
that
called?
Frosting?
It's not frosting.
It's not frosting.
No, it's a whatnot situation.
It's got a little more texture to it.
It's a little stiffer.
Yeah, it's a little stiffer. So, Alex, if you could use the magical powers of the internet and figure out what that stuff is called.
The newer type of thing.
Situation.
Yeah, the frosting on there.
Yeah, what is that stuff called?
Right? See? It's whatnot.
Laminate. Fondant? Fondant, maybe?
Fondant.
Fondant.
That's exactly what it is. It's fondant.
Fondant. They should sell the fondants by themselves. Like, just get a box of fondants.
You get those near the Bollards, right? Yeah, the Bollards. Bollards, what?
The Bollards?
Baller.
Yeah. Bollards, you're talking about the things that in the street around Wrigley?
No, that's what I said. I was thinking of a different kind of thing. Was it Zinger, maybe? They've got weird names, man.
Yeah, but Zingers have fondant on the top.
Yes.
What's your favorite fondant? What's your favorite fondant on a snack cake? Light them up.
Honestly,
312-644-6767.
Aren't those the only two? Would those be the only Zingers?
Hell no.
And the Hostess cupcakes have the fondant.
No, I think there's a lot of snack cakes with fondant.
Really?
Wouldn't you call the stuff on the outside of like the zebra cakes from the?
Isn't that more of a shell? Isn't that more a little?
It's a fine line between shell and fondant,
right.
My friend.
So do we
an
know
expert in here?
Do we know what is in the fondant though? What is the fondant?
I'm going to go with the aforementioned high fructose corn syrup. I'm going to bet that's number one.
And it probably lasts for 50 years. Why? Because it's got fondant.
Dude, you fondant. Yeah. What's the shelf life of fondant?
You inject a little fondant in there. You could keep anything
I'm
alive.
Sorry.
You could keep your rotisserie chicken alive. You put fondant up in there.
Folks, this is why I woke up today. This is why I woke up and came to work. So I could figure out the shelf life of fondant.
And drink Yoo-Hoo. Well, just me. Like, we were trying to figure out what to pair with this notes of chocolate and strawberry and whatnot.
Texture says rum. How would rum do with some Yoo-Hoo?
I bet that would be delicious for people. Hey, man, I've been looking for a relapse, so let's do it.
Don't go looking for a relapse.
Everybody in here is like, no, Grody, no, don't do that.
I believe it. Relapses find you.
They do.
You don't find relapses.
Exactly. Don't try to pin me down. You don't know when I'm going to relapse.
Right
you
there
have
with
no
you.
Idea.
Right there with you.
Amen, brother.
No relapses in this room.
Works if it work gets over, baby.
Fondant shelf life, by the way, 18 months to 2 years.
Oh. I don't believe that.
I feel like we could push it, right?
I could beat that.
I hope that Studs is running out getting zingers right now. Is he back there actually
working? Yeah, no, he's actually working.
Oh, sorry.
He's not getting zingers.
Cubs baseball. Come on.
Cubs baseball coming up later tonight.
Oh,
on the score.
7-10, right?
7-10. It'll be Cubs and Brewers. And our guy, Wayne Randazzo, the Dazzler,
love Wayne.
Is calling the game for Apple TV. You know what? Should I say this now? I know I teased the other topic.
We
can do it when we come back. I have figured out the greatest baseball broadcasting hack. I didn't realize it was possible, but I'm going to tell you right now, folks, lately I've been doing something at the kitchen table, be it a puzzle or sometimes I'll tell you, I like to color a little bit or draw a little bit,
okay.
Which makes me, it's just really good for my spirituality, my little soul, some creativity stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm a great guy. I'm just saying it's good for me. Or I like to work on a jigsaw puzzle, whatever.
Okay.
And I listen to the ball game via the MLB At Bat app. Okay. I listen to our guys, Pat and Ron and Zach. And here's the thing about the MLB At Bat app. It's actually ahead of the television action. So the life hack that I have figured out is do a puzzle or do something else that you need to do, but you're listening to the ball game and it's a little bit ahead of the baseball game. If you pause it, you can time this out exactly. When they finish talking about a play, if you think the play was worthwhile, turn your head and look at the TV and watch the play happen right then in real time, as previously described by the great Pat Hughes. And perhaps if you time it well, as being analyzed right then by the great Ron Coomer.
Wow.
This has changed. I've had a relationship with baseball. I've been around this game a long time.
Well, you're an our game guy now,
doing something else while I'm listening to the ball game on the At Bat app and timing it out so then I can then turn to the TV and watch it if I'd like to has been a game changer.
It's like a self-imposed spoiler almost. You're allowing the moment to be spoiled by Pat, which of course, but then you get to watch it. There.
I get the joy of hearing the radio broadcast just as a newbie.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't exist until Pat tells me it exists, which is the magic of radio play-by-play.
Yeah.
And then I get to watch it and then I feel like I've watched it twice.
I didn't realize I have the MLB app. I did not realize it was ahead because most of them are behind.
Me neither.
And that makes it impossible.
Me neither. When I discovered that.
That's great.
Literally last weekend, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I hate the idea of doing a jigsaw puzzle during it, but I'll have to think about what my activity would be during a Cubs game.
Yeah.
I'm not a puzzle guy. Yeah, my mom loves, every time I go to the house in the burbs, she's always got a puzzle going, and don't like, I'm not good at them.
I understand. Well, I mean, I don't know if you do any like sort of tactile things or arts and crafts or anything to make your...
not part of me.
I understand. Yeah. No judgment, and I appreciate you not judging me, unless you are, in which case, enjoy yourself.
Does Dave like any arts or crafts, though?
It's a good question. Dave the cat.
No, but
have you ever offered Dave an opportunity to color?
This is a great idea. I think maybe some finger painting, some paw painting. I think that would be an idea for Dave.
You need
the cat.
To do this. Yeah, why is this not happening?
Yeah, and you need to film it. You need to stream it on the score.
Make sure you're on the air while it's happening, right?
I will say this. The Dave's latest conquest in the house was my Take the North wristband. Like, I had it. I just got it. It was up on, sitting on the ledge right where I sleep the next day.
It's a hot commodity.
The next day. Yeah, oh, nice. Alex Kuhn's got his. The next day, I wake up, it's torn up, and he put it in his water. That's what cats like to do. They like to put it in their territory.
tore. I'm sorry, Studs. I need a new one. I need a backup.
He didn't eat it, did he?
No, he didn't eat it. Okay, he just chewed it up real good. I'm like, he's out there in the room just screwing around, and he threw it in his water, so I no longer have. But now I know. See, that's the way cats are. You could buy them all the toys in the world you want,
yes,
but then they just make up toys.
You can also, of course, just sync up the radio call to the TV in actually perfect real time.
Right.
If you'd rather do that.
That's probably what I would do. Oh, we got a backup.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
But so most people would do that, and you can totally do that, or you can go ahead of yourself in the style that I'm describing.
That is awesome.
It's been a whole change. That the Take the North wristband looks good on you.
Got a new one. Yeah. Right, got a fresh one out of the bullpen, Studs. Man,
you know
you're
what
a
happened?
Hero today, dude. This is awesome.
You know what just happened now? I derailed the show.
Yeah, you did, but that's okay. You derailed the whole segment.
But it's 4:37, so we're good. We're on schedule.
No, I was 4:39. Well, I guess I did it at 37. All right, so now we'll get to baseball families.
Ah, yes.
We'll do that now on a Friday afternoon. Wayne Randazzo of the Apple TV broadcast, which I'll totally be listening to tonight.
I just remembered I got to renew my subscription because this is Apple.
Just listen to Pat and Ron.
Type of situation.
It really is.
KMA.
It's Spiegs and Grody on Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It is on like radon charm. With a fleet of super bad
status radon charm. Afternoons on the Score.
Kind of out of the blue, I got a text from Brett Boone saying, I think the Cubs might be for real. Hope you're doing great, Booney.
I'm sorry. Let me just pause and ruminate on that. Brett Boone, brother of Aaron Boone, Brett Boone, big leaguer, podcaster, part of the Odyssey family, son of Bob Boone, grandson of Ray Boone.
Yes.
Damn. Is allowing you, Mark Grody, to know him as Booney. Now, is that... I mean, can you call him that? He signs it. I guess that means it's a green light to discuss.
I think that was the green light. I honestly, I don't remember if when I talked to him last night, if I ever referred to him. I'm not sure if I felt comfortable doing it yet, even though he did. You're right. He gave the green. And afterwards, I said.
So he was on the show last night.
He was on the show last night.
But you didn't refer to him as Booney.
I don't know. Alex, do you have any proof of whether or not I called him Booney?
I will have
night.
To go check that and go back through the interview.
Oh, okay. I thought for some reason I thought you had said that.
I listened to it, but I can't. I wasn't listening for you.
I might not
referring
have.
To him as Booney
because this you was
need,
just like
you need,
over.
You need a real clear green light for something like that.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, but I will say that I did do the thanks for coming on. Great as always, and he writes back, my pleasure. We can do it anytime.
How about that?
Anytime.
You've got a textual relationship with Brett Boone.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's no Joe Buck, but I got to start somewhere.
Hey, man, Joe Buck never played the game.
That's a great point. I'm on his VIP list. The only other guy, who else on the VIP list? One of many guys, actually. Trey Wingo. I'm on the Trey Wingo VIP list. I don't know if that's as great, but...
I can speak to that. He does like talking to Mark
Grody. Yeah, you tell him anytime he wants to talk. I don't know what I did.
I mean, good for you.
Yeah.
But due respect, this is a ball player, man.
Yeah.
Like when the ball player either uses the nickname or gives you a nickname. Did you hear White Sox pitcher Shane Smith and his interview with me on Hit and Run a couple of weeks ago? He was done with me, but he said it in a nice way.
But I got to let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good. I got to let you go, Maddie.
How
so
good did
Shane
you
Smith,
feel?
Man, I felt great.
Oh, yeah.
I got a Maddie from Shane Smith. Right. It's like you're on the team at this point.
Totally.
So, but you...
It's like that, is it?
Yeah. Sean, has a ball player ever called you Sean?
Right. You're right. I know.
Searsy?
Yeah.
Has that ball player ever texted you and
no, just Mark Grody.
Put his nickname on
there? The Sears. Okay.
So, nice try, Pat.
You're right.
Back off. All right, so you talked to Brett Boone about his baseball family,
didn't you?
The aforementioned Bob and Ray, not Bob and Ray, but Bob Boone and Ray Boone.
Right.
And the three generations.
You want to hear what he had to say about that? Here it is.
Well, we've got there's a few of us that have three generations, so it's the Bells, it's Hairstons,
and
it's the Boones.
Oh.
So a good friend of mine, I'm actually friendly with Jerry and David Bell. Was a teammate of mine in Seattle.
Okay.
So, to be honest with you, no, that's more for for the press. And that was, when I was playing, it was a cute story to open a series. Oh, a third-generation player.
Right.
But when we get together, that's kind of the last thing we ever talk about. That being said, you're very proud of what my family's been able to accomplish in the game of baseball, starting with my grandpa. He was the patriarch, and he kind of laid the foundation. And I look at this, I look at my dad, his success. I look at my brother and what he was able to do. So anything at this age, where I'm getting to in life, I just look back and I'm pretty proud. I'm pretty proud of the things to this day that we've accomplished and still accomplishing.
That's really awesome. And the fact that he mentions the Hairstons, because I had Jerry Hairston Jr. on Hit and Run a few weeks ago, now doing television work for the Dodgers, and Jerry Hairston Jr., I asked him about his baseball family.
We just love being around the ballpark. I think that was the thing, as kids, we wanted to be with our dads. My father wanted to be with his dad. I wanted to be with my dad. And it just so happened we're at ballparks, and there's no other better place to be as a kid than a big league ballpark. Pick up a bat, hit a ball, catch it, throw it, run around the stadium.
Yeah.
And we just developed a love of baseball. We were very fortunate to get a chance to play. Some of us played the big leagues, and some of us played minor league baseball. So we're just very fortunate to get that opportunity.
So Jerry Hairston's brother, Scott Hairston, also played.
Yep, Baltimore, I want to say.
Yes. Yeah. Their father, Jerry Hairston Sr., played. Their uncle, Johnny Hairston, played. And their grandfather, Sam Hairston, played. Folks, that's five.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hairstons.
That is the preeminent baseball family of all time.
Wow.
I'm going to give them five because they're three generations, like the Boones and the Bells, and like the Colemans, the Jerry Coleman, Joe Coleman, and another Joe Coleman. I don't really know them too well.
Yeah.
But three generations, but five total Hairstons is pretty awesome.
I love it. And I want to go through some of these, but I do like to compare them. There's like the original crime families, the Bananos, the Columbos, the Gambinos, the Genovese. I lean towards the Genoveses. I like their work. The Lucchese's.
I have a great deal of respect for all of them.
Yeah. You never know who's listening.
A tremendous deal of respect.
I'm a big Gambino guy, let me tell you. But yeah, the Alomars, of course, Sandy of the Alomars.
And Roberto.
Robbie of the Alomars.
And their dad, Sandy.
Sandy Senior.
Yes. How about the Alus?
Yes.
The Alus, you got Moises Alou.
Cubs.
And then his father, I believe, was Felipe.
Yes, correct. Montreal manager?
Yes.
And maybe Marlins, too, some point in time?
And Felipe's brothers, Matty Alou, and Jesus Alou.
Yeah.
All three of them played the outfield together in one game.
Oh, wow. So, oh, that's fantastic.
And then my father used to tell me about the other Alou brother, Hullab.
Was that the joke?
Hullabaloo. Thank you very much.
It's a hullabaloo.
That's right. And then I added Boogaloo.
Boog?
And Toot. Tootaloo.
Okay.
But yeah, Hullab. Oh my dad always, Hullab. He always used to get me with that.
That deserved a rib shot.
Thank you.
I'm about to blow your mind.
Please do.
Everybody, especially you.
Okay.
I'm about to blow your mind.
Do it.
Mel Rojas was a cousin of the Alus. Is a cousin of the Alus. Mel Rojas, a 1997 Chicago Cub.
Terrible closer.
Was a terrible closer because he should have been the eighth inning guy. I have to go back and look. But I think there was some reason why Mel Rojas, sort of like LaTroy Hawkins.
I think they signed him and said, oh, he's a great eighth inning guy. Let's make him a ninth inning guy.
And then he did the thing. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But how about that? Mel Rojas.
I didn't know he was the
Alus
cousin.
We're not even doing the cousins here. I mean.
No, we can't.
Some
families do, and I guess that's okay for them.
How about the Gurriels, man? The Gurriels and the Fright. Did
Thanks,
I just miss
guys.
Something?
Sorry, no, you're good.
Did I let it go?
Lourdes and Unieski?
Yeah. Yes.
And who else?
Yuli. Who is the best of the bunch?
Oh, Ulieski.
Is it Ulieski? I just knew him as Yuli Gurriel.
He just got cut the other day.
Did he?
San Diego, I think.
Two-time World Series champion. I mean, he was great.
They kept Jason Hayward instead of Ulieski Gurriel. But anyway, yeah, go ahead. So there, you got the Gurriels.
Yeah.
How about the Delahunties? The Delahunties, there were five Delahunty brothers that all played in like 1905
or something. I was going to say, I don't remember the Delahunties.
I think Ed is in the Hall of Fame, Ed okay. Delahunty, but then the other four didn't. But there's five players, but it was at a time when I believe there was 17 players in the entire league. You know? Yeah, it was really, like, we need another player. Yeah. Get us another Delahunty.
Is young Johnny 16 yet? Can we get him in here? He's going to play for the Genoveses if we don't get. He's going to go to a crime family if we don't get him into this family.
Right. If he's not, if he doesn't play ball, we'll make him a Genovese. Again, tremendous respect for the Genovese tremendous family.
And for the Bananos and the Columbos.
Absolutely.
And the Gambinos.
And the Alus, while we're at it.
And the Alus.
You never know.
How about the Bells? Can you do Bells?
Tremendous respect. Oh, what? Buddy.
Buddy, yes.
So, yeah, David Bell.
David Bell.
Buddy Bell is a terrific player.
Terrific.
And their dad was Gus.
Gus.
Bell.
I knew David Bell and Buddy Bell. I could not have done Gus. There's a Mike Bell, apparently.
I don't know Mike Bell.
Yeah, so you don't go four Bells.
Yeah,
you go,
and then there's a lot of second generations. There's tons of them. People are texting in Yogi Berra and Dale Berra, of course.
Yeah.
Ripken, Cal Sr. And Cal Jr.
How
and
about
Billy.
This one? A name we mentioned earlier, the Encarnaciones. Aren't there at least three Encarnaciones?
I'm not aware if they're related or not.
Juan, right? They are related. Well, let's check that to the internet.
Yeah.
Check that out, guys. Let's see. Are the Encarnaciones all related?
I mean, there's a million. George Brett's brother, Ken Brett, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
There was a Ken Brett that played baseball?
Absolutely.
I don't remember. Absolutely.
Pitcher.
Okay.
Left-handed
Take
pitcher.
Take it easy over there.
Sorry.
Ken Brett.
I know a lot of stupid baseball stuff.
No, I mean, you got me there. I don't remember it. Have we covered them all? The Boones, the Alus, the Alomars, the Gurriels, the Bells, the Encarnaciones, the Harrisons.
How many Molina brothers? How many Molina catchers
the Molina
were there?
Molina brothers! Were there
more Molina catchers or more Gramatica kickers?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Or more Hilgenberg centers?
Yes. Now, there's a segment.
Yeah. Texter, Todd Bell.
Yes. Todd Bell.
A bear.
I don't think he's related.
He sat out the 85 season.
All right, well, this has been useful. He's Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is Spiegel and Holmes on the Score. Let's talk Cubs Brewers with Wayne Randazzo next.
Ooh.